Yeah. Check. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share. That same type of feeling when you feeling them flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV, here on the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, check out our website, theantimedia.org, and catch the latest anti-establishment news. The website's doing pretty well, man, and we're starting to add more and more authors. Hopefully we're going to have like a really good flow of articles coming out by next month, man, so it seems pretty good. I'm also joined here by my co-host, DB. How's it going?
I'm doing well, Nick. Doing well, just like usual, watching the super slow motion societal breakdown worldwide of all these places where the economy is starting to falter due to the crazy economic system we've been living with since World War II, which is fiat.
It's proof in the pudding that what is going on right now is just not working out for the majority of the people. So, you know, we're starting to see it. Obviously, we saw what happened in Ukraine, and we saw how it ended, where it gets co-opted, and now it's getting cut in pieces by Russia and by the West. But you can't deny that the organic feeling is there that people are tired of what's going on.
Yep.
You know, they're sick of it.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's just what is it going to take now? I mean, we're seeing in the U.S. now that they're talking about taking away the health care benefits for people that are on the armed forces families, which would leave them to purchase health care through the government that they've been getting for free because of Obamacare. Obamacare is even affecting the military. Is it affecting the Congress or the Senate, though? No.
No, I believe they're all exempt from it.
They are.
And now the other thing is I saw this thing today, and it's almost hilarious how the media jumped all over this about how a North Korean leader, Kim Jong-il, is forcing everyone to get the same haircut.
Right.
To get his haircut.
Well,
right.
One of 28 different varieties is what women are allowed, and men only have like 12 options.
But think about it. Metaphorically, getting a haircut means like, you know, cutting back, cutting your bills back and stuff like that, cutting your money back or whatever. And the funny thing is that Obamacare is basically the same exact thing. It's the same exact idea. We're all getting the same haircut. We're all getting this Obamacare. Every man has to get that same health care package. You know, it's like our media jumps all over North Korea when they do it. When our own government's doing it to us, they take it in stride and they act like it's a good thing. It's like completely hypocritical. It's completely insane. It's like they live in a whole different universe, a whole different reality from what the day-to-day person is living in. And in essence, they do, because they're surrounded by these one percenters. They're lobbied, you know, the money controls the content. I mean, you look at this guy from Bloomberg that just Did you hear about this editor from Bloomberg that resigned? He was a editor for their news segment.
No.
He resigned because they censored themselves over this China story. This guy had they got this like breaking news on China about some rich guys in China, and Bloomberg wouldn't let him publish it because they were trying to protect China, because that was like an emerging market for them. They wanted to get into China, you know. So this guy quit. So like it's obvious with all these leaks, with all this blatant corporate interest in the media, that they're simply just trying to put out a false reality. It's not what's really going on. It's not what people really feel. The people that are on TV aren't what people really look like in real life. You know, it's and these fake shows like the Kardashians and people, they play this thing out as if it's reality, as if it's real. All this stuff is totally fake. And even if it is real, these people are nothing like us. It's a completely different lifestyle. Yeah, it doesn't even relate.
Right.
You know, so it's like, what are we doing? How are we allowing ourselves to be caught up in this mainstream media hocus pocus dog and pony show and let the real news slip by, which is all of us having a decreased quality of life, all of us having less money, all of us, less and less people owning houses, more and more people in poverty. I mean, that's the reality, but that's not what they show on TV. What they show on TV is Kim Jong-il forcing everyone to get a haircut. And then not even showing that Obamacare is forcing all of us to get a haircut.
Well, it's just different. It's different slaves for different masters. That's the way I look at the world now. It's not that we're any more or less free than anybody else. It's just that there's certain places that will put it in your face and others that try to use coercion or subterfuge like we do. Because, honestly, we're the hardest working workforce in the world per capita, per person. We work more hours, we get more productivity out of our people, partly because of technology and partly because that's the American culture, is the work ethic. So we get a lot out of our people, and that's because we're given the illusion of freedom. Could you imagine if we actually had real freedom? Could you imagine that productivity? People like to believe that the world would be full of a lot of lazy bums where you're not required to show up for work. But I always think that then you would just create, right? If robots, and they will eventually, do all of the physical menial labor, and they will. They will do it. It's coming. What will that leave people to do? And it will be to be creative. And we got to get to that point sooner rather than later, because if we wait till later, they'll phase everyone out of the workplace, and then they'll have everyone on food stamps, and then they'll have total control.
One thing I wanted to get into before we jumped into this Ukraine thing, It's kind of along the same lines of what you were talking about right now, but there was this teacher earlier this week or over the weekend that she also resigned, just like this guy at Bloomberg did, and she wrote this resignation letter basically citing all this bureaucracy, all these standardized tests and all this stuff, you know, and it's basically more of this blowback from this Common Core and this No Child Left Behind.
Right.
And we see what's going on, man. Our schools are suffering, dude.
Suffering. They don't do anything except what they're supposed to do now, which is make the next crop of slaves.
Exactly.
You know.
I mean, it's gotten to a point where people are having to retire and resign just to try to shed light on what's going on here.
Right, and they don't want to be a party to it, because there's going to be. I mean, unless somehow there's some calamity worldwide, people are starting to wake up in the U.S. They can't but help it with this Facebook news feed pumping Natural News and our site and every other alternative look, and all these great writers and voices and thoughts coming out that are obviously unadulterated. You know, there's no big corporation telling you what you can and can't do. So you get the perception of the real world. You get a better perception of reality through the craziest, most tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist site than you would from CNN, which is obviously all fake. I mean, they've been caught in the same parking lot saying they're on location in different spots. I mean, they fabricate the truth. They don't misreport and they don't misrepresent and they don't get the facts wrong. They just make everything up and then they screw up when they ruin their own narrative. Sometimes they go off script.
And they get caught doing it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, this what's her name, Mika Brzezinski, okay? She's a host on MSNBC. She's also the daughter of the Brzezinski.
Right.
The guy that's the total puppeteer, yeah, the total puppeteer guy that's been advisor to almost every president since.
You mean the
Carter.
Chess master, right?
So there's a clip, and it went viral. It had 600,000 views on YouTube, where she's basically interrupting the guy that she's co-host with, saying, "We got to stop talking about this plane. This plane thing is bullshit. We should be talking about Ukraine."
Right.
And acted like it was like an interruption. You know what I mean? But it was right. all like reality TV, dude. Right. It was all scripted. You know, and it was totally obvious. She was totally obvious about it. And then it went viral, and so many people are like buying into this. We're talking about Brzezinski, yeah. man.
Right.
This guy talked about manipulating the media, and what do you know? His daughter's a news host on MSNBC, and he's on her show a lot.
Sure.
As well, you know.
If you want to know the pulse of the real puppeteers, because Brzezinski is like probably the highest guy up on the pyramid that's allowed to show his face in public. You know what I mean? So if you really want to get the closest direct connection to what the people that really run the country have in store, read the guy's books, listen to what he says. Obama's a complete figurehead for the masses. He does absolutely none of the actual decision making. He just gets yelled at or praised depending on how well they dupe the public every voting cycle. And then the next guy will be in, he'll be I promise you, Libertarian Party will win. It's going to be Ted Cruz, and nothing will change. I can almost promise you that too. You know, and
an appeasement, man, because they realize, oh shit, we didn't realize how effective the internet was going to be against us. And two, they're like, okay, well, people are getting tired of our shit. Let's give them a bone and try to appease them. Right. Meanwhile, we pull the wool over their eyes and just continue exactly what's going on.
Right.
You know, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, the technology hasn't reached the point where they can have complete tyranny yet. It's probably 2 or 3 years away. They're going to probably have to keep this charade going for one more voting cycle. You know, 2016 is when the RFID.
I don't think it's going to be as much of a libertarian guy. I think it's going to be some more Republican like Marco Rubio.
It could be Rubio.
Marco Rubio's got some. He'll be able to appeal a little bit to Hispanic people.
You know, it could even be Paul. You know, he could be.
I highly doubt it, but you know, you never know.
He could be the knight in shining armor for civil liberties. You know, here's the thing: that's a distraction in itself because it always comes down to the gun. They can say and do and think and try to individually get people and sneak them into prison under all these unjust laws, but controlling the masses, the people at large, could never be done as long as we were armed, period. Can never be done. So all of these things they're attacking on us, all this SOPA, everything else they do, all these individual activists they try to imprison, like Kokesh and everybody else who ends up getting out, because let's face it, the government's so broke they can't even fight a court case anymore. They just let these guys go. No contest. All they try to do is put the fear in them, and now they're getting sued for time served and pain and suffering and character defamation because they did nothing illegal at all and yet did hard time in a federal prison.
Yeah, man, they're just slowly trying to stifle dissent, man. And just at the root of it all, you know, they're just trying to dampen any kind of...
But it's way too late. It's been too late for years already. We've met that precipice. You know, we put a figure on it. Wasn't it like 14% of the people? And now we're at like 18 or 19%. And, you know, it only took 3% of the population to win the original Revolutionary War. So it's way beyond that. The only thing stopping anything from happening is because no one will pull the trigger yet. No one has stopped the energy grid or anything yet. They're literally just trying to bide their time and let the system go as long as they can and get more and more prepared. But I'm telling you, they're playing a dangerous game because people are closing in on them. You see these pedophile rings now going down in Europe. This is going to lead to these top psychopaths running things. All these things. The Thailand revolution going on right now, they're throwing out Yingluck, and they're finding out all the European connections with their children and the massive pedophile rings and the slave trade coming out of that. These guys literally are playing a very dangerous game because the power structure at the top is about to be put away.
Yeah, man, and then now they're, you know, obviously what this Ukraine thing is about is trying to keep this, you know, it's trying to amp up the military-industrial complex for both countries because, let's face it, if they don't do the same thing in Russia, they're going to run into the same problem that we're running into. So they have to amp up this military-industrial complex. Do I think Ukraine's going to escalate into a World War III situation? No, I don't think so. I don't think that'll happen. I think they're going to have these proxy wars just like they've been doing everywhere. Afghanistan was a proxy war for how long? It still pretty much is. I mean, Ukraine is just going to be another proxy war, if anything. And then the military-industrial complex gets to keep on pumping the money. We get to keep expending all the resources, forcing everybody to work. Everybody has to work because they keep on taking the tax money to pay for all this military spending. So no one gets a step ahead and gets to like relax a little bit and actually think about what's going on. We're stuck working two jobs at a time and we have no time to think about it.
And the biggest cherry on the top no one knows about is that Crimea had held the largest pyramid ever. It dwarfed the pyramids of Egypt, and it was buried underground, and they found it. And not only did it dwarf it, but it's made out of an alien crystalline kind of thing. So in other words, that's one of the superconductor-type pyramid things sitting on top of the ley line convergence of electromagnetic power. And that is why that's why Russia grabbed that thing with a quickness. They went in there and said, you can take the rest of Ukraine. Take the breadbasket and the port. We really don't care. Take all the ends of the pipelines, too. We're grabbing this gigantic superconductor, and we're about to get free energy forever, and you guys are in the dust. We have all the oil, all the coal, all the natural gas, and now we have all the geomagnetic power. And that's why World War II may soon start, is because the West couldn't even fathom a Russia with unlimited power that they couldn't control on the global market. How can you control something that's wireless? There's no pipelines. It's just directed energy.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that is the problem with bureaucracy and having decentralized energy, man, and they're not really compatible. So if Russia did find a way to transmit wireless, they'd screw themselves because their own citizens would reject the government, basically.
No, because you'll still need off the grid. Well, you'll still need energy for your cars because, you know, electric cars are still going to need to power up and sit somewhere and get powered into their battery. So you can't really do away with that. And jets sure need the fuel bad. You know, there's going to be a lot of uses for fuel, but the beauty of it is that they can tell their own citizens, Russians, I'm Putin, and I just gave you free power for your stupid cell phones and all your lights in your house. You don't have any more electric bill at home now. I am God. Like, they'll do anything for that guy. You know what I mean?
And, you know, that also kind of – you know what's weird is that, like, the nationalists in Russia are rising as well. And there's a big-time nationalism. And, I mean, obviously there's polls coming out. Who knows if they're manipulated or not? Chances are they are. Most polls are manipulated. But the polls that I saw are saying Russia got a bump in approval rating.
Oh, Putin.
Putin got a
– Isn't he like at 73% or something huge?
Something like ridiculous, yeah. And so there's a lot of anti-homosexual sentiment going on in Russia. There's a lot of racist sentiment going on in Russia. So I mean the whole continent of Europe, and it must be what it is it's a shift in attitude because of all the immigrants coming in,
right?
And all these people blaming the fact that our economy is screwed up instead of blaming it on the bankers and everyone that are robbing the economies, they're blaming it on the immigrants
and cheap labor keeps the wheels turning.
Basically, this whole sentiment rising in Europe is based on a false pretense. You know, so this whole thing is rife for people that are going to be basically a bunch of sheeple, you know, and willing to do something stupid, you know, and that's where we can really run into some problems if some Ukrainian nationalist movement jumps up and starts to try to fight with Russia and take back Crimea and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, that could be I think the regional problem that no one can really calculate.
Right. And the beauty of proxy wars for these absolutely insane guys that play the geopolitical game for the real chess masters who run things is that a proxy war works perfectly as a way to set up a false flag for an even bigger one and maybe even, you know, a global one. And you can see, like, a lot of things are popping up now on sites with them linking the disappearance of the plane to all kinds of things as a precursor to what's about to happen with the economy going into splinters. and, you know, having stuff like guys disappearing from, you know, semiconductor companies where there's invisibility technology being developed. These are all precursors and similar things that would happen. It's similar to the Reichstag, remember? It's set on fire. A plane goes missing. Now these four super scientists from China are gone. You think they're happy about that? They used 20 satellites to try to find the plane. 20. I mean, I don't know what those cost an hour to run, but I think they're in the billions. So they divested many, many resources for these guys.
So you think China's going to be mad about this plane mission?
I think a little bit. I think they may dump the dollar in retaliation because it seems to me that that might happen. And if Russia's mad too and decides to come from the other side, well, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, man. Well, what we do know about Ukraine is that Russia's battering them down on the east. I mean, they have a lot of troops lined up over there, and that can't be nice right now living in eastern Ukraine, not knowing what the hell is going to happen.
Right.
Now, the other problem is that they're also being attacked from the west. This is a two-front war. So not only is Russia making a land grab, but it's the west and the banking cartels making a property grab and a leverage grab into Ukraine, and the new prime minister Yatsenyuk has basically agreed to the IMF bailout,
right,
without any negotiation.
Well, they
so
have
basically they basically placed as leverage almost all of Ukraine's infrastructure to the IMF.
Right, to protect
so,
them.
So if anything goes down, guess who collects? The central banks.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
and of course it's exactly what they want.
Well, they did what to the Ukraine, what they did to Greece, which is they took a piece of everything that people need, including their public infrastructure. That's all privatized now for Western Ukraine. Crimea was pretty much ready to be absorbed into Russia because culturally they are them already, and all the richest people already have those Black Sea, you know, resort type things already there. So. Yeah, man, that's what's happening now. It's they're starting to just make Western Ukraine into this puppet state that's going to be completely owned by central banking. Completely. It's just like Greece.
And it's like we were so quick to jump on the side of these new people that came in, and all of a sudden they're a month later they're recognized. The guy's actually the prime minister, unelected. He's accepting the IMF bailout. There's zero accountability. Like, this is pure fascism, dude. There's not been a vote yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
There hasn't been a vote. So if this guy's an illegitimate prime minister, how is he accepting this IMF bailout, which is in the billions and billions of dollars?
And he's
the U.S. alone promised a billion.
Right. I mean, you're talking about up to $50 billion from the IMF, which will perpetually bankrupt the Ukraine. I don't believe that their GDP is even $50 billion, which means they'll never be able to repay this. This is the kind of thing they've already done to the U.S., which is our debt exceeds our GDP, and that now it can never be basically ever repaid. That's going to be done to Ukraine instead of over the course of 200 years in one night when they receive these balloon loans.
And then in the meantime, Russia basically captured all of Ukraine's navy. They captured like 12 out of 15 of their ships.
Right.
And then out of like I forget how many, but like 75% of the guys in the navy defected over and started working with Russia.
Right.
So they totally lost their navy.
Right. They don't have anything now to fight
and,
with.
And now they're completely vulnerable. They have no navy. They're not in control of their best ports. And then now they got the central banking cartels coming down, breathing down from behind closed doors, taking over all the assets and infrastructure.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is a total raping of Ukraine.
Yep.
And the people there are going to be so screwed when they realize 5 years from now what happened.
Right.
And they're going to be in the same situation that Greece and Cyprus is in, because that's exactly what happened to them, too.
And it's laughable because they're these same guys that basically more or less overthrew the legitimate democratically elected government in the Ukraine now are hooting and hollering for a new constitution to include lawful firearm ownership. And the IMF's like, no, 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 no. That's not going to be allowed under our new, our rules we're setting up for you guys. So what do you think's going to happen now in the Ukraine? I mean, out of – chaos order. Well, imagine a gigantic. I mean, anybody in Crimea may have it easy now because there may be a huge civil war now in what's left of the Ukraine. Because these guys now realize what's going on. If they're not going to allow them firearm ownership, and they're basically going to replace one tyrant with another, well, why would you be behind that?
Yeah, that's basically what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, for the people down there, not much is going to improve for them until they realize that they don't need all this stuff. They don't need all these dictators. They don't need all this government to tell them what to do. Otherwise, it's always, you know, they're always going to be in that same problem, and they're in a place in the earth, unfortunately for them, where a lot of the resources get passed along. They're basically on the Silk Road of oil, more or less.
And they grow a lot of cereals. They basically feed a lot of Europe as far as how much bread and all those kind of things they can grow there.
Yeah, so unfortunately for them, I mean, it benefits us. It benefits us and Russia to have them basically disarmed, have them basically indebted and unable to do anything, you know, so that we can just continue. Then we could just put a monetary system in there that will they'll force them into the euro.
Yeah.
And then they're going to – and then after that, that's it. Everyone gets taxed then. Once you're in the euro, you're done. All the inflation, they print just as much money as we do. So, once they get them in the euro, that's it. And that's when these protests first broke out and I saw the headlines and I'm like, it's like protesters in Ukraine, protesters in Ukraine are rioting in the streets. And I'm like, pro-EU? I was like,
you mean paid saboteurs?
Like, who in their right mind would want to be pro-EU?
No, why?
So, now that's the thing is that, yeah, there probably were it was orchestrated, but at the same time, there was also organic, you know, sentiment as well, and that's where they were able to capitalize on that stuff. And so they capitalize on the stuff that's organic, co-opt it, and then turn it into what they turned it into. And that's exactly what they did. Russia was like, "All right, we're not sticking around to find out," and they just took Crimea,
right?
And they're just amping up their defenses on the west of their border just to, you know, make a point. Hey, you know, we're not going to stand for this.
Well,
but,
yeah.
I mean, at the same time, Russia's not on the right, obviously, because they're just going using brute force. And the problem is that none of this stuff is going to stop until we can roll back all this stupid meddling and all this foreign policy, all this CIA stuff. And all of that stuff needs to just be done away with.
It won't be, though. How will it ever be rolled back? And you can't you can never have an armed revolution in the United States. That would be quelled with a quickness. It would be like Hunger Games, where the capital would just decimate all the other districts. It would be similar to that. So how does it end? What's the end game? Well, here's what's going on right now. Essentially, the people that control the U.S. and Europe from the shadows have been pushing Russia and China, and now that those guys now realize finally that if they don't start pushing back, that they're over, that the world will become a hegemony very, very soon. Is that what humanity wants, or do we want to retain our cultural identities and have separate societies and separate countries and separate languages, or do we all want to basically be under one banner through force? Through overwhelming military drone robotic force that can't be contended with.
I don't think the through force part is very good. I mean, it's like that in 500 years, if humanity got to the point where we became so evolved that we decided to do away with all borders and stuff like that, and just say, you know what, we're just citizens of the world. You don't need a passport to go anywhere. You can travel wherever you want. That's how the world should be anyway.
Right.
All this stuff, all these people drawing lines in the sand, that's what kills people. Every time you draw lines in the sand, you force someone to step over that line. And when they do, then the other person reacts. And then they build up their propaganda all around that point. And then they teach the kids that, you know, and that's how you get nationalism. And that's a big part of the issue that we're dealing with, man. Especially right now in Europe, man. It's weird because we've been watching what's been happening in the Middle East for so long. And all this sectarian stuff in the Middle East, all this violence. But this stuff is getting ready to bubble up in Europe next, man. Bad. I mean, we're starting to see it in Spain. There's big time protests going on in Spain, like on the regular nowadays.
Well, the IMF is bankrupting Europe, just like the United States. It's what's happening is it's hitting them easier because I shouldn't even say easier. It's hitting them a lot harder and more immediately because they're each independently controlled microeconomies. The EU is only the currency, basically. They're not really a economic force. If all the countries of Europe became the United States of Europe, they'd actually be more powerful than the United States of America by about a trillion dollars or so, I think it was, the more assets they had. So it's stronger together, but the thing is, they don't want that. The EU was created because they basically duped everyone into thinking having one currency was going to be more convenient and safer. But guess what? The UK didn't do it. There's a reason for that. The City of London still uses the British pound. There's a reason for that. You know what I mean? The euro is it's nothing more than another fiat currency. And again,
it's Germany's currency, probably.
It is Germany's.
Because we all know Germany has and is always going to be the powerhouse of Europe.
Yep.
And think of it, back in World War I, they were the biggest economy. They were bigger than England. World War II, they were the biggest economy on the mainland, Europe. And now they're the biggest economy in Europe again.
Yep, by a lot.
And they're always going to be because they're highly engineered, manufacturing-based economy, man.
It's the Rhine, man. It feeds their steel, it feeds their fields, and it feeds their wine. I mean, they make everything off of, like, two or three super rivers, and they have mountains and deep wells everywhere and forests all over the place. And, I mean, they're just completely stacked and loaded with natural resources. And then the people there are all, for the most part, highly educated, because why? Free college, free healthcare. I mean, as long as you got the grades, you go to school. And then the economy is great because all these powerhouse companies are doing well.
Yeah, so, now in Europe, you don't have this as much of this fascist dictatorship as you did before in Germany. But what you do have is the new form of slavery, which is the central banking, the fiat currencies, the pyramid scheme that everyone in the Eurozone is in. Obviously, England stayed out, like you were saying, for a reason. They're the banking powerhouse. So they stayed out so they can keep their stuff separate. So when right. so that when it crashes, everyone's going to come to them.
Exactly.
So now you also have the U.S. dollar that has to compete with all this stuff.
And it must be killed for the global agenda to take place. It has to be.
And it's being, right now, it's being enforced down the barrel of a gun, down the barrel of a tank. It's the petrodollar. It's oil-backed dollar. It's not gold-backed. It's oil-backed. And right now, that's what everyone's using, and that's what's keeping the U.S. in this bubble. And that's what we have to really be aware of, is that if we're not taking precautions against the financial bubble that's appearing, that could very well be, at the very least, another recession. Most people that I know don't even think we ever got out of the recession, because if you look at the real numbers, the amount of people in the workforce are a lot less now. There's just not as many jobs.
Right.
And there's various reasons for that. But at the rate we're going, and the debt and the borrowing and the creation of money and the wealth inequality and all that stuff, it just the equation just doesn't add up. And I know I mentioned it last show, but there's even NASA science behind this that says, look, if this system keeps up, it's going to implode, just like the Roman Empire.
Well, it's the same NASA guys that wrote a report that said humanity is already obsolete, mankind's obsolete. How do we as the elites, how do we as the alpha dogs intellectually, humanely kill off all of the useless eaters? So when I think about NASA, I know what their agenda is. It's the same as the UN. It's to wipe out all these people because they don't have a purpose for the people at the top. And that's just not going to fly. It's all part of this whole big game. So trust me, there's more than enough resources of all kinds for everybody on Earth to live not an American lifestyle, but we can definitely live a very comfortable one. We can all work together and make our own food and not have to rely on these big corps that just are starting to see you as nothing more than cattle. You're just a number. They're just going to pump through whatever they can. I mean, if anybody knows Food Babe, how she found out there's rubber mat material inside of almost every major manufactured bread or wheat product in the U.S. Why? Because it's a bonding agent and it's cheap. Okay? And the same thing's happening.
It gives you that nice, cushy yoga mat feel.
It does. It makes the bread fluffy. And people eat it, and it bonds to your intestines, and then you get cancers of all sorts. And now they're finding out in cereal, there's paint thinner. There is paint thinner inside cereal as part of its preservation process.
Yeah, yeah. Nick Brannigan, the guy that was on the show last week, he did a video about that on the Las Vegas Strip, asking – he had, like, a few boxes of cereal, like, Cinnamon Toast Crunch and all this, like, you know, cereal that kids like that tastes really good.
Right. So, I mean, we're being attacked on the most innocuous fronts there are. And, you know, we can talk all day about it. The people that are listening are already kind of hip to the game. We know the water's compromised. We know the food is. And now, of course, even the air. So what can you do about it? Well, we always like to talk about spreading the word. But now it's starting to get to the point of surviving the cut. I like to think of it now as you're making the cut. The more information you have available to yourself about what's really going on, you can react accordingly, start taking supplements, eat organically, filter your water, like really filter it. Don't just buy bottled water. Get a home filter, a really good one, because it's going to be way better than bottled water. You know, these things will all add up, not only to your longevity, but your quality of life. And you'll see in 10 or 15 years, if we don't have some major war, you're going to see a generation of people that are sick all the time.
And then what you can do, and like, you know, like a problem for me where I'm at a little tiny apartment with no space. Like, I don't even have space to grow indoors there. At my mom's house, I set up an aquaponic system in the driveway. She rents, so I can't do it on the grass because they have a lawn, and the people that own the house don't want us messing with the lawn, which sucks because lawns are useless, basically.
Yep.
But what happens is, just like people have a social network online, a social network exists in real life, and that's what your social network really is. And everyone knows people. Everyone has, like, on average, 5 friends. Everyone on average has 5 close family members. And each one of those family members has 5 close friends. And each one of those friends have 5 friends. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you need to tap into, is your real life social network. And find people that have yards. Find people that have property where you can put a well in. And then crowdsource through your real life social network and get people to pitch in a little bit of money here and there to get things done. Whatever it is you want to do. You want to set up maybe just 8 backup solar panels between you and 3 neighbors, let's say. And let's say it's going to cost you like $4,000. And then you just split it between each other, and then it's only $1,000 each.
Right. I mean,
and then you have a backup in case the power ever goes out.
A solar panel powered deep well that runs the pump, providing you water during the day. I mean, these are not very expensive, and why the government doesn't take it upon themselves to put these up randomly in case the water grid goes down, well, that just shows you right away all they're in it for is the control over you, because they're cheap. A well is $10,000, and a solar panel running the pump's about $2,000. So for $12,000, you can provide water security to hundreds of people.
Yeah, there's not really a backup for the grids.
What is it?
Now, if you look at the government buildings, almost all the ones I know in San Diego, they all have generators outside.
Right.
Just in case something happens, their building stays up.
Yep.
All of downtown might go dark, but the government federal building stays up. The prison stays up, doesn't it?
Right.
You know, so that's the thing. They don't care about our grid. They just want to worry. They make sure they're protected. You know, if they actually cared about it, they'd have backup systems already in place.
Yep.
And like you were saying, they would have wells already in places with pumps. Whenever if something ever happened to the water supply, people can just go to these neighborhood pumps and pump water.
Right.
Well, yeah, it might be a little more inconvenient, but at least you got water.
So what? You got water in the day for free. You know, you're not going to have – this is the thing. This is what makes me think that for years, and I'm talking about 6 or 7 decades already, they've been prepping for worldwide mass panic and been condensing everything people need for survival into these systems in order to do so. For the what would they like to call as the Great Culling. They get everybody completely, you know, everybody needs these things now. Can you grow food off-grid and get your own water? No, nobody can. So we're basically at the mercy now of the people that control these things. The only reason they haven't used it yet is probably because it's less profitable for them to have to use an iron fist than it would just to trick everybody for right now.
Yeah, man. You know, and they're just going to keep playing this thing out as far as it can go. As you know, and all this, just unfortunately, all the wealth and resources are being transferred.
All on paper, though. That's the
thing. Yeah, exactly. This stuff is all on paper. And in a time of need, I believe, you know.
People will take it.
Yeah, this stuff will just get taken back.
Exactly. And it will be. But this is why this whole sham is a shell game. What are they going to – what can they possibly do if everybody just said enough with it? We're redistributing all of the wealth worldwide. We're going into Area 51. We're going to find out what's in there. You might kill a million Americans stopping us, but there's still 299 million of us. You may be able to kill 5 million or 10 or whatever it takes, but you can't stop the whole world against finding out what you've been doing. It's impossible now. There's 7 billion people, and there's the internet. What can you do? They're playing a losing game.
The reality is it's a very, very fragile system.
Yeah.
No, the fact that we rely on this grid is also just as fragile as them relying on us being reliant on them.
Right.
You know, so and in fact, there's two things going in for them, you know, so it's even harder for them to keep control.
Yeah.
So for us, I mean, it's just going to happen naturally as our society keeps evolving, as information keeps becoming available and being spread, as education becomes more and more open source. I mean, how many free classes are there? How many things can you learn for free on the internet? And as internet accessibility becomes available to the poor people that are poor that can't afford internet connections or computers, and people in the third world that wouldn't have access to internet. When these people start getting access to the education and all these resources, man, we're going to be in for a technological revolution that's going to make all of our lives a lot easier.
Yeah.
Unless all of that technological revolution is owned by these same dudes that are basically in charge of everything else. I just saw an article today that showed that Monsanto and Facebook have 7 of the top 12 board members they have 7 of them in common. Facebook and Monsanto. Facebook and Monsanto are basically owned by the same people.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's like, are we going to let that keep on going, or are we going to switch to an open source society?
No, we're going to – listen. Society's going to break down, but if we have the right kind of leaders when this collapse happens and we don't allow the same people that got us into it, that controlled the breakdown, that contrived the breakdown, that are expecting to profit out of it – we need to sweep the rug out from underneath their feet and go, it's over. That last system, the one with money, it's gone. We're not doing it anymore. We know that you've been suppressing technology that makes it possible for all of us to have all the things we need for free. We know it. We know there's proof. We know there's whistleblowers that you keep trying to kill and have been killing. We know that you've been using it just to control us and to keep your higher status in society, and it's over. It's over now. We're not going to kill each other for you. We're not going to allow you to sit in these ivory towers anymore. We're going to allow everybody to live as good of a life as we can. Now, will there be luxuries for people that work harder and for people that produce more for society? Sure. We're still going to have planes, and Tahiti will still exist, and there's still going to be diamonds and gold and furs and everything you could think of.
The whole point is that, like, all the basic essentials for life
should be free.
It should be, yeah. We should, all the people that are capable of doing more than they actually need should just be wanting to help people that don't have as much.
But even if you can't, we're not in a place of scarcity. We're really not. I mean, if we took 1/10 of the Gobi Desert and covered it with solar panels, we'd provide electricity for the entire world at American consumption rates. That's what people don't get. We have so much power, it's unbelievable. And it's being pigeonholed and controlled and manipulated. And you're made to work for something that you don't need to, when you should be creating for everyone else to make their lives better, not the few. So these things can't last. This House of Cards, it's already over. The Netflix House of Cards is perfect. All these guys backstabbing each other at the top, all these congressmen, this is what's happening with the elites. This is why the bankers are suiciding themselves. You're going to see more of these snakes at the top biting each other like heads of a hydra, because this game is over. It is over. They're backstabbing each other now to see who wins. We'll all lose, but somebody's going to win at the top.
So apparently there was this Federal Reserve test on the bank the structural soundness of these banks. And most of these banks pretty much failed these tests, and they had to change their calculations, like at the end, just to pass this thing. And it's basically showing that these guys don't have hardly enough, you know, collateral for all this money that's lent out. You know, and basically it's just another house of cards that's built up on this fake money, this funny money. And obviously, we all know it's been happening. We've been talking about it ever since 2008. The Fed's been just keeping, you know, they've just been pumping money into these banks, pumping money in. And these guys just keep sucking the whole thing dry. And nothing is really fixed. These banks are still on the verge of collapse, just like they've been.
Right.
We're all poor. They're all richer. Well, that's the only thing that really changed. We just got a lot poorer.
And didn't all the physical collateral get transferred to China, meaning all the actual gold bars? I believe that right now we're insolvent on a physical collateral level. And I know J.P. Morgan absolutely had to empty out all of their silver and gold stocks to cover all their notes. So the only one that's going to make it through this, every other one will be offered up. Goldman Sachs will never be touched because that's the elites that cannot be named. That's where they have their money. They have it with Goldman Sachs and they have it with BlackRock, which is an investment firm. Those two firms are the kind of guys that when there's a hurricane, their building still has full power and Manhattan's blacked out. That's the kind of pull Goldman Sachs has. It's the vampire squid of the world, where it sucks the wealth of everything and condenses it all for the elites. So they'll never be touched. But could you see B of A going under? Oh, yeah. J.P. Morgan will be going under, and they will be making a bank grab at Chase. So you have to look out, because J.P. Morgan is bankrupt right now. They owed so much to the Chinese, they literally had to empty out their pockets for them. And now they're going to refill them by taking out, their depositors.
We're all going to suffer, man. Just like the poor people in Cyprus, just like the poor people that are going to suffer in Ukraine. And I guess it comes down to how can we slow this train down? How can we defund the beast, I guess? And it kind of goes back to ways of getting out of feeding into it, you know? And unfortunately in the U.S., most people, even if you own property, you still have to pay taxes on it and all that stuff. So you never can actually get all the way off. I know some people try and they fight and stuff, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't have to be that way. I don't think when you own something, I don't think you should have to keep paying the government for it. So as if it was theirs to begin with.
And you can't even live off the land anymore, because what about the guy who illegally camping and got shot by like 18 deputies that were, you know. This is the thing, man. When you're out camping and if there's someone out in the woods and they kind of creep you out because they look like they're living in the woods and you call the cops, they're going to kill that guy. Okay? He's not going to go to jail. Whoever called in and said they saw someone acting suspiciously out in the woods, that guy's dead now. I hope you're happy. So if people are trying to get away from society, you're going to have all these so-called do-gooders, goody-goody narcs. And it's all part of their game they're putting in. You don't want to live in the system? Something must be wrong with you. If you can't live for free, you have to get a job. You have to put into society. Like, there's some people that cannot and will not. They're born in the wrong time period. This is not where they're supposed to be. The Cloud Atlas did not work for them. And they're in the wrong spot. And do they deserve for 18 deputies to descend on them and fire on them and shoot them because the guy is camping out, you know, somewhere and somebody said saw some guy, weird guy in the woods? I mean, this is what it's come to now. You can't off-grid because your neighbor who's the goody-goody will, the guy could be dangerous.
The Tory?
Oh, God, the Tory, exactly.
Tories, man. That's
the white, the red coat.
That's what they are.
We live with red coats.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of those in the society because they're so afraid, because they're so dependent on this thing that their own thoughts get suppressed out. Even when they think something bad, they think themselves out of it because they're so subconsciously dependent on the system.
Right.
There's so many. How many people directly work for the government?
And how many US?
People directly get money from the government? Yeah. Or some kind of food stamps and things like that? Well, a lot of people.
90 million people are on food stamps. 100 million people are unemployed right now, leaving a whopping 130 million for a work base, and out of that, how many pay taxes? You see where we're at right now? This bread and circus debacle, it's over. The coffers are so empty now that they're starting to cut the funding to the military. They're going to cut programs to the military? How long can that go before there's a coup? I mean, this is just – it's lunacy. It really is. It's over. The breadbasket lifestyle is over because we've tapped our resources and we can't bully anybody anymore because our military is obviously not all that badass, or else Russia and China wouldn't be fronting, so to speak.
Yeah, man. It's like we've spun our wheels too far, I think. And I just don't think the people just aren't buying it anymore, I think is what it really comes down to. Because if we were buying it, then we would have gone all the way into Syria, and who knows what would have happened after that. This whole Ukraine thing might have even been, you know, involved in it. And fortunately, the people are just like, no,
because they
we're
can't,
not going
to
do that.
They could listen to me. If Russia tomorrow declared war on the United States, we could not have a draft. Could you see mothers allowing their children to be taken to fight Russians? It will never happen. There will never be a draft again, ever. Everything has to be done privately. That's why there's things like Academy that exist. But they can't – listen, China's got a 10 million man army and they could draft 50. We couldn't get two to come out. There would be a lawsuit against the draft. It wouldn't matter if selective service. This isn't the Vietnam era.
No, man. Okay? The draft is just pure slavery, man. And it's even worse because they're putting your life on the line too.
Well,
it's not even just working you and not paying you.
People just wouldn't buy it. If they said we need 5 million
at the same time.
If we needed 5 million men between 18 and 35 tomorrow to suit up for death, that would not happen. We live in a Call of Duty society, man. It won't happen. People will not they won't show up. You want to see society splinter? Watch World War III fizzle into non-compliance worldwide. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's just so many people that are not going to they're not going to want to join this thing. And if you look at all the polling numbers, all the statistics that are coming out about the engagement in the media, the politicians and all this stuff, I mean, the people just aren't buying into what they're telling us anymore.
No.
And everything that Obama says now, like, basically falls on deaf ears. Anything that John Kerry says on TV, Hillary Clinton, no one's buying it. I mean, yeah, there's some people. But in general, just, like, nobody's buying into this. How many people actually vote in these elections? Like, let's talk about the numbers. How many people voted in the last election for Obama and Romney? It was, like, one-fifth of the voting population.
I mean, I didn't even know who Leland Yee was. And now he's the first state senator to get brought up on conspiracy charges. He's basically a triad gangster. I don't even know who that guy is, and I live here, and I don't remember voting for any state senator. The thing is, I am politically active, and I am disconnected from this process because I realize it for the dog and pony show it is. It means nothing. It means nothing what I check in a box at a ballot booth with a paper ballot that the same technology I used when I was in fifth grade and voting for my fifth grade class president. We used for the president of the free world. I mean, we should be voting on smartphones. You want to use biometric data, NSA? I want my fingerprint attached to my social, attached to my vote, so that you can't make voter fraud happen with electronic shenanigans. I want to have my vote. I want everything. You want transparency? Allow me to see what everyone voted. Why is that a secret who you voted for? You should stand behind who you checked if you're going to play this game.
Oh, but the government believes in democracy in name only, man. You know, they don't believe in real democracy. They don't believe in that kind of thing.
Right.
They don't believe in true republicanism or anything like that. They believe in saying democracy when it's convenient. They believe in supporting fascist dictatorships when it's convenient.
I mean,
look at what happened in Saudi Arabia when they were cracking down on the uprising, and they were brutally cracking down on these people. And where was the U.S. government? What did they say about it? Nothing.
Well,
what did the media say about it? Nothing.
Well, it's because we need to have the royal house of Saud contain the power there so we can keep sucking out the sweet crude until they're empty.
But in Ukraine, on the other hand, if the protesters are getting beat up in Ukraine, the U.S. automatically jumps to their side and a month later they give the interim prime minister total access to all the contracts and dealings with the IMF and billions of dollars with the buyouts.
Sure.
That just doesn't make sense. They overthrow the government. A month later, they have this guy in there negotiating these contracts?
Well, that to make it look legitimate.
Establish the central bank?
Wait, because according to script, the Ukrainian people wanted to become part of the EU, and then they went ahead and fought against the ex-communist Russian loyalists inside, overthrew them, and then as a concession gave them Crimea so that they could have freedom in Western Ukraine. I mean, this is just – it's so – I mean, when I talk to people that don't know about things and they're all, what do you think's going on? And I tell them, they're like, no, that couldn't be true. But then maybe I'm sure they go home and research it and it blows their mind. This is what's going on, man. Just – I tell you, there's a few books to read. Confessions of an Economic Hitman will tell you the blueprint of exactly what just happened in the Ukraine.
The thing that's hilarious is that both the West and Russia are both claiming to be fighting for democracy.
Right, exactly.
We must fight for democracy, so we have to let, that justifies what we're going to do.
Ukrainians have to be in charge of the destiny of their country as long as they borrow money from the IMF or the Russian mafia, one or the other. Doesn't matter.
And this whole situation is at least half our fault because we keep allowing to have this insane foreign policy. These people in the CIA going in and instigating these coup d'etats. You know, we keep having this trillions of dollars of spending. For what? How is it helping any one of us here at home?
How is it
helping the regular average Joe?
It never will. It's just global world domination.
All it's doing is keeping the system going so that everyone has to keep spinning their wheels. Everyone has to keep working two jobs and get taxed to hell to death to pay for all this stuff. No one has a spare second in their day to speak out or join a protest or get out in the streets. Why do you think we see all this uprising going on in all these countries and not here? Because everyone here is spinning their wheels in the hamster wheel.
Right.
We're running the rat race. We're all doing it.
Yep.
And while we do that, we're getting all of our money raided, all of our hard-earned money and assets and capital, whatever you want to call it, getting taken percentage by the government. They nickel and dime you to death. That's why you don't see it happening here. That's why you don't see tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in the streets. Just because we're so stuck in this rat race and we're still reliant. We still have the Federal Reserve. We still have the reserve currency of the world, you know. And it's just a matter of how long are we going to let it last? Now, if we were to lose our reserve currency status, but at the same time we'd cut back our foreign policy all the way, we wouldn't even feel it. It would be like a little bump in the road.
Right.
If we lost the reserve currency status and we said, you know what, cut the entire military.
Right. We're only defending
borders
now.
And
right.
Then we wouldn't even feel it.
Right.
But that won't happen because that they rely on that power structure to keep expending our resources, wasting everybody's time, and getting rid of all of our money, making a few people rich.
Yep.
And then they get to keep riding. They get to keep riding the gravy train. Once we realize that has to stop, then we'll be able to really put a stop to this thing. No vote, no election is going to change it.
No,
it's just going to be a matter of enough people realizing, okay, we're not going to support the system. We're not going to use the dollar. We're going to go off grid. We're going to establish, like we talked about in the last show, we're going to establish community cooperatives, community economies. We're going to trade for food in our local community, rely less on food coming from out of town,
yep,
and get our own community electrical co-ops going so that we can get off the power grid and have our own grid that's more reliable.
I think the ultimate goal is that before they kill the dollar for us, when we have our pants down, we need to make the Federal Reserve note a dirty four-letter word right now and stop using it. Unless it's only because we have to deal with major corporations for something that we can't do ourselves. Otherwise, it's got to be person to person.
That should be one of everybody's goal, man, is to just, as much as you can, work your way off of the Federal Reserve note, no matter what it is that you do.
And trade those for silver coins. I'm telling you, it may end up saving your life here.
So I think that's coming to the end of the show, guys. Make sure you catch LeVon on Friday. Check out theantimedia.org and catch me and Dave on Monday. I have another show going over what's going on during the week and all that stuff. And check out this drone, too. We didn't get to mention it, but there's this new drone that they invented that can hijack your Wi-Fi. Google that. It's on the anti-media.